When did you start bringing everything downstairs, just so you don't have to go back upstairs again? Joint Relief Institute. Move better, live better without surgery. Call 708-888-0000.
The Drive-In Theater. A little history first. Back in 1933, chemical company magnate Richard Hollingshead Jr. opened the Camden Drive-In, the first official drive-in theater, in June of that year. He tested the concept in his driveway using an old projector, and that same year, Park-In Theaters was established as a company, paving the way for an exciting new medium. Camden held about 500 cars. It cost $30,000 to build, and it was 25 cents for admission. Now, Scott Dean is the creative guy behind Chicago's only drive-in theater, and that is the McHenry Outdoor. And he joins us once again on WGN Radio. Scott, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
I am great. I love what you do. I was just saying to you off air, you know, I follow you on social media, and you just seem like you're having the time of your life.
I really am. And, you know, I tell all, you know, my staff and everyone, I go, I want you guys to have fun. We're working at a movie theater. You know, if you're having fun, if we're all having fun, the customers no doubt are going to have a good time too. So yeah, it shouldn't just be limited to the customers. We like to have a good time here too.
But you're creating this amazing experience for people. And, you know, I encourage anyone who has not been in the drive-in in years, take the kids, take the grandkids. It's something like nothing else. And you can't get it anywhere else in this area, in Chicagoland. It's the McHenry Outdoor.
It's something, it's very unique. And I think each year that goes on and each season that we have, I notice just another reason why places like this need to exist. And the irony isn't lost on me that it takes this giant screen to get people away from their phone.
Small screen. You know? Yeah, from the small screen. Right.
But when, you know, when they're here, it's more than just the movie. They're, you know, everyone arrives, you know, early to, you know, play ball and to just enjoy the outside and the summer weather and to see, you know, like three generations of guys playing catch. You know, you got the grandfather and the father and the grandson, and they're all playing together. I mean, you can't get that in very many places today, and that's what we try to keep alive here at the McHenry Outdoor.
But you're right about that. There's not a lot of communal experiences left. I mean, even back in, we say, the day, 70s, 80s, 90s, when we all watched maybe the same thing on television or saw the movie for the first time on cable TV and so forth, there's not some, unless you're watching the Super Bowl, you know, maybe the Oscars or an award show, we're not all watching the same thing together. And when it comes to your drive-in, you're right. People arrive early. It's people from all walks of life. You're talking to everybody, and you're just experiencing something different while you're watching a movie together.
Agreed. It's basically, it's just a big block party where there just happens to be a couple movies playing. And it's something that I think you're right when you talk about, you know, when we were growing up, this just kind of recaptures that and reminds some of us, you know, I know when I'm here, it reminds me of my time growing up and hanging out with friends and, you know, sit in the back of a station wagon with mom and dad.
Yeah.
And that it's still alive and it's still alive here. And I hope that, you know, some of these kids that I see, you know, playing around in the grass area before the movie, maybe they're the ones who are going to continue this in other locations, in other venues, and this will be something that will grow.
Spending a summer evening at the drive-in is as American as apple pie and baseball to me. And this place has been around a long time. It was the Skyline Drive-In when it first opened. And I think about this, right. 1939 is when it was originally constructed, just before the big boom for outdoor theaters after World War II. So, you know, for almost 90 years, I mean, this theater kind of was early. It was ahead of its time.
It was. And, you know, it's you and I have talked about this before. there's a fine line between being nostalgic and being old.
Right.
We enjoy being nostalgic. We don't want to be old. So, you know, implementing the, you know, current technologies and accommodations at the theater while also preserving this kind of time capsule of entertainment and togetherness as a community and as families. It's a balancing act, but it's definitely a fun one to try to pull off.
Well, and this weekend, you're featuring Toy Story 5, huge numbers at the box office right now.
Huge, yeah.
And that's the big movie this weekend. And, you know, of course it brings families together, but there's always two movies at the drive-in theater. What's the second one this weekend?
So the second one, we always try to go, you know, more family friendly first, and then maybe the kids fall asleep. And yeah. So this week, if the kids fall asleep, mom and dad, you can watch Disclosure Day, the new Steven Spielberg movie.
Very, very cool. And, you know, you talk about vintage, old, classic. I still love the vintage commercials. I love that you still play that, because that for me just tells me where I'm at.
It's wild. You know, it's funny. We've been, Toy Story opened last Friday. And we have our intermission with the classic intermission. You know, you get the dancing candies and the popcorn and all that.
Yeah.
And there's people who refuse to leave. You know, the kids are cranky and they got to go. So they're going to leave after Toy Story, but they can't leave until they honk at the hot dog jumping in the butt.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, all right, now we feel complete. We can leave in peace.
For the little ones. Exactly. Exactly.
Right,
but like, how many cars can you hold? Because I've seen, if you go to Scott's Facebook page, the McHenry Outdoor, you will see some, like, you know, maybe drone flying over the theater, but like, it's massive. How many cars can you fit there?
So I can fit comfortably about 700 to 750 on a busy night.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about comfortably. Now, when I was much younger and a little more ambitious and I was hand parking cars,
yeah.
I think my record in here, I think I had 960 in here one night.
Wow.
This is back when, like, I think when Shrek opened, but yeah. So comfortably, we try to limit it at 700, yeah. and everyone gets a good view of the screen.
You make it work. Options for sound. You still have the car speakers, which are really, really cool, but there are several options for that.
So, yeah, we broadcast on an FM frequency, and you can listen from your car. You can bring a radio from home. We also rent radios. And then I've installed speakers over the years on all the buildings, external speakers and on the screen. So like for example, Dave, I came out to see, Star Wars, The Mandalorian and Grogu with my family. And we sit there when everybody's got the sound playing in their car and the speakers are going, you don't really need anything. You get kind of this natural stereo effect. There's multiple options for listening to the movie, but you really don't need anything if you're coming on a busy weekend.
No, we pop open the back of the SUV, and there's parking for bigger cars in certain areas too. But then we throw down a tarp. I have a tarp that's literally our drive-in tarp. I'm like, hey, kids, go grab the drive-in tarp. We know what it is.
Tarp.
Seriously, and we throw it down, and we bring our outdoor chairs, and we're sitting out there. We might, have a couple snacks. But that's the other thing about your place too is. The snack bar is a staple, and it's so classic there. It is so classic. It looks retro cool, but you got a lot of really great food in there.
We do, and my dad's been on grill with me for, I think this is his 14th year here, so he's a mainstay on that grill. But we got everything, you know, your typical summer fare, hamburgers, hot dogs, cheeseburgers. And then, you know, we had a little fun with the candy. We go retro with a lot of the candy choices, candy that you can't really find anywhere,
sure.
or that you might remember purchasing at a movie theater, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, bringing those back. And it's cool to see people walking through the line and just kind of, you see the smile on their face like, hey, I remember bottle caps.
Sure, right. Yeah, the retro candies. Yeah. But you also have meal deals that you do on certain days of the week as well.
We do. So our big thing is to try to, I know how expensive it can be to take a family anywhere these days. And what I want to make sure that we preserve here at the theater is the ability for everyone to be able to come and see a movie. So if you really wanted to, you could bring a carload of all of your family and friends, and you could see two movies and only spend $15 if you come on a carload night on Tuesday or Thursday. Or we have a pizza deal meal where for $59 you get a large pizza, four drinks, and four popcorns and VIP parking, and that's for your whole family. So there's options there for every income bracket to allow everyone the opportunity to enjoy their time here.
Love it. We're going to talk more to Scott Dean of the McHenry Outdoor Theater. We're going to talk about his throwback season coming up with some great movies, the big event happening on July 4th with the MLB Summer Drive-In, and more. And we'll do that right after this on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer, 720 WGN. We're talking to Scott over at the McHenry Outdoor, Chicago's only drive-in theater. Got to schedule some time there this summer, folks. You have also, we were talking about some of the deals that you have. You have like giving back nights on Wednesday night. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I began what I call Project Popcorn. I began this back in 2014. And basically, it was very simple back then. It was just what I would do is I would take two charities a month, and I would donate 10% of our popcorn sales to those charities. And it was just kind of done, you know, in the back end of the business here. And what we've done now is we've said, you know, we have the opportunity to use this venue as a vehicle to really make a difference in the community and for those in need within our community. So this year we have 35 nonprofits that we are benefiting. And on Wednesdays, if you mention one of the nonprofits that we are sponsoring that night, $5 from your admission goes directly to that charity. And then we have a year-long 50-50 that we're doing that will be it's cumulative for the summer. And then someone's going to win a good amount of money, and then the other half of that money is going to go to the charities that we were benefiting this year. So it's this community and everyone who supports us has been so outstanding to us here. I mean, they're the reason that we are here. So to not use this venue to give back to the community that has been so good to us would be unfortunate. So
you're a good man,
we do our best to support all of those that we can here.
You do. You always do. Throwback season, that comes usually mid to late August, but but you're doing a John Hughes weekend, a Bring Your Dog to the Movies Day. I love that Back to the Future marathon, Mean Girls and Clueless, which is a great pairing. Yeah, talk a little bit about the John Hughes weekend.
So the John Hughes weekend is it's become very popular because John Hughes is from the area, and a lot of the people who are extras in his film still live around here. Actually, the guy who owns the Ferrari from Ferris Bueller, he has the Ferrari that he brings out. And it's kind of taken on a life of its own where everybody looks forward to, okay, the summer movie season's over. We know that John Hughes weekend is going to kick off the throwback season. And you see a lot of the same familiar faces. And it's a blast. And we do a triple feature of Ferris Bueller, Breakfast Club, and 16 Candles. So it's a really fun time. A lot of people come back and revisit and say, you know, I saw this when it opened here.
Yeah.
And you get some pretty cool stories on that weekend.
I think when I was in high school, probably the last movie I saw in the drive-in was The Breakfast Club in 84. Seriously, before like I it was a resurgence and went back with my family and so forth. But it was Breakfast Club. And I always remember the second, never for you guys, but the second feature was always some BC movie piece of crap. I think it was called Horror Express. And I thought, man, we're going from John Hughes to this thing. But we would
Horror
stay.
Express,
but you
yeah.
Would, yeah, but you would stay. You would stay and watch it.
Absolutely.
But you have a big event happening on July 4th. It's called the MLB Summer Drive-In. It starts at 4 o'clock. Tell us all about this day.
Well, you mentioned it earlier. I mean, there's nothing more. When I think of America, I do think of, you know, baseball and movies and, you know, just what really is intrinsically entwined in the American culture. Mm-hmm. And Major League Baseball approached us in February and they said, listen, it's the 250th birthday of America. Here we are, Major League Baseball. You're a drive-in theater. It just seems like we should come together and do something. And it was kind of the genesis of this huge event that we're doing on the 4th, where we'll be showing The Sandlot, which is a classic, classic baseball movie. We'll be showing the Cubs and Cardinals game that day.
Amazing. Love this.
There's going to be a bunch of events for children and families. There's a home run derby. They're bringing out all sorts of really cool activities, and then we're going to cap the night off with a huge fireworks show.
Amazing! This is amazing. This is on July 4th, Saturday, July 4th. Cubs, Cardinals, The Sandlot, and fireworks. You cannot beat this, but I would get online, buy your tickets, do that, because that's going to go fast. But you also celebrate our veterans all the time. You also celebrate America all summer long. You're always looking for folks to sing the national anthem live before every movie night.
Yeah, that's turned out to be a something that everybody looks forward to. As soon as those floodlights on top of the tower, the screen tower, go off, you can hear a pin drop, because everybody knows that some local talent is going to be singing the national anthem, and everyone really, really looks forward to that. And it just adds something. You can feel the energy when that starts here at the theater each night.
That's very cool. And Scott just mentioned it to me. If you mention WGN, he's going to give you a hug. How about that?
Of course I will. Two of them. And a popcorn.
There you go. Season passes. There are season passes available too. Talk about that.
Yep. We have season passes available throughout the summer. And then we also offer our season passes for the fall and winter months when we get closer to those times. But there's, again, there's all sorts of options out there for big families, for individuals, anything that you're looking for in terms of wanting to see movies in a really unique environment, I'm sure we've got you covered at goldenagecinemas.com.
And you sell swag, too. So if you want to take the drive-in home, you got some cool swag as well.
Oh, yeah. We got T-shirts. We got sweatshirts. We got hats. You want to start a conversation? These shirts, and they're conversation pieces. Believe me, someone will say, "Hey, you've been to the outdoor," or they'll say, "You know, where is a drive-in theater?" So it's definitely you'll get some good conversations out of any kind of apparel you purchase here for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to tell you, drive-in is such a fun experience. To me, watching the film is the same quality I get in every theater. My kids love going to the drive-in. They recognize it as being rare but extremely fun. If you haven't done it in a while, get to the McHenry Outdoor. It's at 1510 Chapel Hill Road in McHenry. You know, put your blankets out, open the back hatch of your SUV, watch the game in your PJs, play baseball, bring a baseball to play beforehand. It is such a better experience than going to a traditional theater. It's communal. It's fun. You meet and greet everybody from every walk of life. It's a great experience for the family. Movie starts at dusk. So for that, you know, it depends on the time of the year, right? Is it sunnier outside later? You're going to wait a little later for that movie to start. But by the time you get to August and September, it's starting at a much more reasonable hour.
Yeah, we'll be starting movies much more earlier in the fall. Right now, we're starting movies about 9 o'clock. Once we get into, you know, August and September, movies could be starting as early as 7:30.
There you go. And where's the website everyone goes to, Scott?
Oh, check us out at goldenagecinemas.com or on any of our social feeds, McHenry Outdoor Theater. You can find everything you need right there.
Always a pleasure, Scott, and we'll see you at the drive-in.
Likewise.
Thank you, my friend.
Can't wait to see you, Dave. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. All right, news is next here on 720 WGN.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
So once a vibrant part of American culture, drive-in movie theaters numbered nearly 5,000 across America during their peak in the mid-1900s. In a nation that loves cars and movies, why haven't they survived? It's a fascinating and fun documentary out there called Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in that examines the drive-in theater's role in American culture from its invention in 1933 through its peak in the late 1950s to its rapid decline in the 70s and 80s. Fueled by the recent resurgence of drive-ins, this nostalgic look at American culture, family, and entertainment tells a story of a changing nation and places the drive-in within the context of U.S. political, economic, and social changes. And joining us to talk about the classic theater venues of the drive-in is the producer, writer, and director of Going Attractions, and that is April Wright. Good evening to you, April.
Hi, how are you?
I am fabulous. What was behind your passion in making this film? I know you're from Chicago, so you must have frequented some of them here when you were growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I live in Los Angeles now, and I grew up near Chicago, and I went to the Waukegan Drive-In, I went to the Grays Lake Outdoor, and I went to the Kino, and all of those are gone.
Yeah, the Kino just closed last couple of years, I think.
Yeah, it just got torn down recently. That was kind of a long fight on that one. But, yeah, it was a normal part of my childhood growing up. My mom always threw us in the back seat and took us to the drive-in. In high school, I went all the time. And I made a lot of friends go when I was in college, too. So it's just always, you know, if there was a choice to see a movie and you had a choice of going to the drive-in, that was always my preference. All the drive-ins that are left, the majority of them are doing really well. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. And one is basically it's come full circle. When they were popular to begin with, they were family attraction. And drive-ins are big, too. You know, you've got however many, you know, places for cars, probably 300 on a small drive-in and over 1,000 on a large drive-in. And then you've got, you know, that times two, and even more if you have kids. So you have to have movies like they're making nowadays. All these comic book movies, all the big animated movies draw those huge crowds that, you know, love, you know, going to the drive-in.
Well, part of the experience, too, is once you get there is, you know, there's so many things, the concession stand and everything. But the kids before the movie, they're playing football in the parking lot with other kids. There's a little playground mm-hmm. there that the kids are playing at. Some people are grilling out there. I mean, tailgating, whatever it might be. So it's pretty cool. I was looking at the history of the drive-in in general, and I know sometime around 1915, they had these air dome theaters for silent films, you know, where people would bring folding chairs. It's almost like what we do in Chicago now with these movies in the park, but that's kind of one of the first experiences of watching a movie outdoors.
Yeah, people talk about that predating the drive-in. You could see an outdoor movie, silent movie. They did that in Europe a lot, too. Where there were outdoor auditoriums. There were also stories of during World War One and World War Two having the troops see movies in an outdoor experience. So there was always that element. But the thing with drive-ins really took off with the baby boom and the car culture and moving to the suburbs and all the things that happened after World War Two is what made it huge.
Well, and you define that in the movie, and I know that, you know, the first one in the history of this whole thing, the first official drive-in was the Camden that opened up in 1933. Richard Hollingshead was the guy that made that happen.
Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity for my film to meet his son, who actually remembered his dad doing that. And theirs didn't stay open that long. His dad was in auto care business, so it was just something that kind of went hand in hand. But, yeah, he's credited with it. And then soon after he started it, a bunch of them sprung up. There were about 100 before World War II. But it was really after the wars when they took off like crazy.
And this was vacant farmland, you know, and I love, you know, you talk about a lot of the venue names in this movie. You know, they all had those just great names, the Starlight, the Moonlight, the Skyview was probably most common, wasn't it?
I think it's the Starlight was the most common. And, yeah, the Skyview was also very common. Midway was a common name if they were between cities. But then most of them were just named either after the city or off of the road they were on. So you have, you know, like a Route 39 drive-in and those kinds of names. Yeah. So but people would know where to find them, basically.
But what you really do is you really establish how indicative these and important these drive-ins were during the time that cars were cool. And, you know, it was all tied into that experience because, first of all, cars were heck of a lot bigger back then, so you could bring a lot of people and be very comfortable watching a movie, you know, even comparatively to today.
Yeah, and you had the, not the bucket seats, but the, what were those called?
The front seats, all the way across?
The bench seats.
Yeah, the bench seats.
Yeah,
you had
bench seats, so it was easier to fit more people and just, you know, sit across it. Yeah, it was a little more comfortable. And today, if you go to drive-ins, a lot of people don't sit in the car. They bring lawn chairs or seats, and they sit outside, which is one of the changes that happens today. But that's because you don't have to have that speaker in your window anymore. It plays over the radio, so you can sit outside and you can hear it inside the whole venue.
I'm a drive-in geek. I have to have the speaker in the car. It's very important. Yeah. It is. It's very important.
A lot of them still have them and maintain them.
Well, we're talking to April Wright. Her documentary is called Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in movie. You can find it at Amazon Prime, Google Play, and more. And there's more when we come back on 720 WGN. Got a couple texts that came in already. 815 says, we love the Golden Age Cinema in McHenry. During the fall, they have classic movies every weekend like E.T. and Jaws. 815, love going to the McHenry drive-in with my first boyfriend. Always felt like an adventure. 847, I grew up in Loves Park, Illinois during the late 50s and 60s. We lived two blocks from the River Lane Outdoor Theater. We used to sit in our front yard and watch the cartoons from the theater. It's pretty cool. People got a lot of memories about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about it, you had drive-ins from 1933 and really up through the 80s. Pretty much anybody that grew up in the United States, it was just part of our common experience. Yeah. Everybody went to the drive-in. It didn't matter where you were from or what, you know, race or whatever you were, you know, economic status, everybody went to the drive-in. And I think it's a little sad that we have so few left, and now you run into people that are just, you know, that will tell me, oh, I've never been to a drive-in, and that's just so sad to me.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. You know, we used to go to in fact, someone just texted 708, worked at the Harlem Irving Outdoor Theater in 66 and 67 when in high school. That's from Pat. I used to go to that one, I believe, when I was a kid, and then we went to the Twin on Milwaukee Avenue, and I remember doing that and bringing rafts from our cottage up in Wisconsin to put in the back of the Grand Torino station wagon and lay down and watch the movies from the back seat. But then I also remember going there in high school before they closed, and I think we saw Breakfast Club and then some throwback B horror movie. I think it was called Horror Express. I was trying to look it up. Yeah, it's a horrible movie. But
drive-ins went through a phase where a lot of the movies were not the best movies, but it didn't matter. It was still fun to go to the drive-in, but that was one of the key outlets for those types of films before cable, before VHS and all that. You would see those kinds of movies at the drive-in and have a great time.
Area code 920, within the last couple of years, went to the Highway 18 Theater in Jefferson, Wisconsin. Retro Fun 618, still go to the Skyview in Bellevue, opened in 1949. Great show,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, these are all good ones. I've been to all these.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sad to see the ones that are still sitting there but not operating. That's the one that bothers me the most when we're on the road.
Yeah.
217,
well,
Harvest Moon.
I cover a lot of that in the film.
You do.
It's just, I try to set it, you know, it's not just about the drive-ins themselves. It's all cultural. It's all about culture and economics and technology and all these things that play into it. And it is a little sad in the United States that we have this disposable culture and that we are so economically driven sometimes that we'd rather, you know, put a Walmart where a drive-in used to be. And that's like our idea of progress. Yeah. And now I think a lot of people are starting to realize maybe that's not the best way to go. So I think we've got a lot of renewed interest in things like this, but for a while, those kinds of things were happening.
You know, and sound was a major part of this, and you break down so much of this in this film. And again, it's called Going Attractions, folks. And I'm telling you, you will really enjoy this. This is such a throwback and such a really, you put it together so well and so nicely just in the interviews that you had and really the photos and the videos and so forth. Sound is a major part of that movie going experience. And I know it took from the first drive-in like almost 15 years to actually perfect how they actually were going to project sound into the car.
Yes. So the really early drive-ins just had one or two giant speakers up in front, either on the screen or somewhere under the, coming from the screen level, just blasting at everybody.
Yeah.
And then a few of them had this underground kind of sound system where they came up through portals. I didn't cover that specifically in the movie because it was just one or two drive-ins that tried that approach. And then RCA eventually did that in-car speaker that became the standard. And that's pretty much what stayed all the way up to the early 80s when it shifted to the AM radio and today FM radio.
I bought a set of drive-in speakers years ago that's in my theater, and there's an adapter on it so I could plug, it's not Bluetooth, but I can plug in my iPhone to it and play stuff through the speakers,
cool.
Which is pretty cool. But in 1948, there was the Browns Drive-In and Fly-In, which you could also, it was parked next to an airport. And that's why I always thought about the Twin Drive-In and by the Pelwaukee Airport, that why didn't they position the screen so you could fly your plane in and watch the movies. But that's pretty cool. And then
there were a handful of fly-in drive-ins around the country. There were actually three or four of them.
And there was also, you know, it gets very buggy. And I noticed that when these little pick, bug repellents, used to light it and stick it on your dashboard, didn't you?
Yeah, they still have them.
Yeah, but I mean, you literally light it and stick it in your car, which is quite frightening. I have an original commercial. Let's play it.
Men, there's a drive-in movie full of juicy people. Wow! It's a trap! Help! It's Pick! We've had it, men!
A pleasant aroma for you, but not for mosquitoes. Pick is easy to use. Light it and forget it. Pick's aroma keeps mosquitoes, gnats, and sandflies away. Pick is the best protection for barbecues, fishing and camping trips, or just relaxing in the yard.
Or starting your car on fire. No, but it's interesting that they still sell those as well. You're absolutely right. So you travel the country pretty much and in really search of all these fabulous drive-ins and the stories from the people that run them.
The film took me many years to make. I actually took multiple cross-country trips, going little town to little town. I ended up going to every single state except Alaska. And wow. I've been to over 500 drive-in locations, so including open drive-ins, abandoned drive-ins, former sites of drive-ins. Yeah, I've been all over.
That's phenomenal. That's pretty cool. What you can tell by the documentary itself is it was just so entertaining. I just really enjoyed it. The intermission time, folks. That's something that, you know, when we go to the McHenry, that you can still see. In between, you can still see all these classic commercials, which is so cool that they play in the intermission time. And
most of those were made by a Chicago company. I don't know if you know that.
No.
The famous, the dancing hot dog and the countdown clock and let's all go to the lobby and the pick one that you just played. All those were made by a company called Filmac, which is Chicago-based.
Very cool.
And they still are making them today.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
And they also sell the retro ones, too. It's like the third or fourth generation in the family now. But, yeah, they're still doing it.
Here's a classic commercial that I found, a drive-in commercial for cigarettes. Let's take a listen.
Guess what? Guess what would taste good right now to everyone in the car?
Cigarettes? Here they are.
The favorite of young and old alike. We've got your favorite kind at the concession stand. Come on down and pick out the kinds you want to enjoy during the rest of the show.
Everybody in the car is going to love that, including the young ones, which I find fascinating.
Well,
that's what it was back then. I mean, could you imagine, you know, rolling up the windows and watching the movie with just, it would be like a Cheech and Chong movie in that car, you know, with all the smoke.
But that was part of the thing of the drive-ins, and still is today, is I kind of say this in the film, that they are a product and an expression of freedom. And that was part of the thing, that you can go in your car and you can do whatever you want to, and you can smoke in your car and you can, you know, whatever. You have your own little space there, and that's part of what people enjoyed about it then and enjoy about it today.
Well, the best way to support your drive-in folks is to go, and if you haven't gone in a while, take the kids, take the grandkids, just go on a date by yourself. But it is a fabulous experience. The digital quality of the screens are fabulous. The sound is great. And the concessions are fun. It's just such a retro experience, and it's so much fun. So I encourage you to go.
Yeah.
And I also encourage you to go to Amazon.com or to what's your website again, April?
Yeah, if you just go to my website, it's goingattractions.com. You can either buy the film direct, or it tells all the ways that you can get it, either digital, iTunes, Amazon. It's everywhere. You can buy a DVD or you can stream it.
Yeah, it's Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in. Again, available wherever DVDs are sold. A lot of fun. Thank you so much, April, for spending some time with us and bringing back some fond memories.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm glad you got so many great texts with people that remember their drive-in.